It is game day, Saskatchewan. Jamie Nye, Hall of Fame reporter Daryl Davis, Grey Cup champion Belton Johnson with you on this game day, Saturday afternoon, week 9 action in the Canadian Football League as the Saskatchewan Roughriders 6-1 at the top of the CFL against one of the teams tied for second, the Montreal Alouettes, with a 5-2 record at Percival Molson Memorial Stadium. In Montreal, 5 o'clock is the kickoff, and of course, the Roughriders coming off a 21-18 win over the Edmonton Elks last week at Mosaic Stadium on Friday Night Football. In that game, it was 8 sacks by the defense that helped lead the Riders to that win. A win, Daryl, that everybody from the players to the coaches said, well, we would have liked it to be a bigger win than 21-18 against the Edmonton Elks.
Yeah, they got outscored 14-0 in the fourth quarter, and they've had trouble finishing, Jamie. We've talked about it, Belton, all season, haven't we, that the Riders in the third, fourth quarters, they have these strong first halves or strong second and third quarters, it seems like, and just don't put teams away. Great teams put other teams away. They know it's a flaw. They have to work on it, but they're winning, so that's good. But they're also at least telling themselves and motivating themselves by saying, listen, we got to put the pedal to the metal, put our boots on the throats of our opponents, and that's something they need to do, isn't it?
They have to do it, man. And the only reason I say that is because, you know, I just think on down the road and everything where the Riders, they're banged up now and everything, but, you know, that cold starts to hit and everything, right? You want to put a team out there misery. You never want to give a team hope. And I'm going to tell you, they gave the Elks hope last week because I'm sitting there like, oh, sprinkle of Jesus time. He has arrived. They have to, man. I don't know at what point they're going to do that because I'd like to see 21-plus point win for the Rider at some point.
Well, maybe it'll be today against the...
I don't think so, Jamie. I don't think they're going to be up 21. This Montreal team's very good and very sound defensively. I know they don't have their starting quarterback in Davis Alexander, but can you see them beating the Montreal Alouettes by 21 or 28 points?
No.
Why not?
Jamie, they... No.
It's McLeod Bethel Thompson.
Yeah, but I'm looking at defense for the Alouettes. They got a strong defense. And, you know, the Riders, again, both teams are kind of without some star or key players and everything too, right? And I don't know. They haven't won in Montreal how long? What, 4 years or something I keep hearing?
Like 2021.
That's a long time, man. And it's not going to be a blowout win. If anything, it's going to be how they've done in the past, win by 2 points or something.
And close and defensive-oriented defense, game. Yep. There's two very strong defenses. I know the offenses are both capable, but against these defenses, I think that's the type of game we can expect.
Yep.
Jamie, 21 points. Ha-ha, I know you were kidding us, trying to get a spark going, and they need a spark.
Okay, nobody's
today.
Buying that storyline. No. Okay, Riders blow it in Montreal. Cross that off the list of things we're expecting today. Of course, the Riders defense coming off that 8-sack performance against the Edmonton Elks. Malik Carney, the top player of the week in the Canadian Football League. He was one of a couple of Riders who got a pair of sacks in that game. And the Montreal Alouettes come in with the second most sacks in the league with 16. The Riders' defense has 20. And Daryl, it's been something you've been like, we need a pass. The team needs a pass rush. They got a pass rush.
They absolutely did, you know. But they, you know what? We've been talking all year that they relied on that 4-man rush often, when even with a 3-man rush, because they love that drop back zone. But you watch the replays of that game. They sent 5 a lot. They sent 6 quite a few times too. And the blitzing Saskatchewan Roughriders are a real force. Yes, they want to get a pressure from 4, and they have 4 very good starting defensive linemen. But they need help, and they got help, and I think Corey Mace, head coach who handles the defensive play calling too, really decided, you know what, I do have to bolster this. And it's been darn effective, hasn't it, Belton, since they started blitzing and bringing those extra guys?
Oh, yeah, when they blitz and bring extra guys, that just, I don't know, it just adds a bit more, you know, chaos to the mix, right? And, you know, especially for an opposing quarterback, O-line, you know who you got, and then you start seeing 2-3 other guys coming in, heads on a swivel. And let's face it, last week the Elks O-line.
Oh, gosh. That's a bad offensive line.
It's about bad as the streets out here in downtown.
Regina, yeah. Holes everywhere.
Everywhere there.
Except there is a difference, though. In Regina's downtown streets, you can't get through anything. Edmonton's offensive line, you can get through anywhere.
Not today. Well, they're playing a lot better today. It's 21-21 against the Hamilton Tiger Cats for the Edmonton Elks. But another big storyline this week is the loss of Sam Emelis. Once again, Belton Johnson. Mm. How big of a loss is that again for the Rough Riders? They went through it already for a couple of weeks this season, already without Kian Schaefer-Baker, and Sam Emelis goes to the six-game injured list after that helmet to the knee against the Elks.
I just see Emelis as kind of that home run hit, right? Like, and, you know, I was watching something last weekend where he was running like 29 kilometers or something, right, you know, off the waggle. And you need that. You need that speed and everything because, to me, I think he's might be the fastest receiver, you know, on the Rider team there. And when you got speed, you can get separation, right? And he gets a lot of that. And I think he's probably Trevor Harris' favorite target more than likely, it seems like. But the Riders, next man up. Let's go, Jamie. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't even care who. I'll get out
Tommy
there.
Tommy Neal is the next. Tommy Neal's the next man up.
Tommy Neal, I don't care how well he plays. He's not a Sam Emelis, right?
He's not.
Sam Emelis, you're right, fast, Belton, but also great target zone, right? Huge reach and mean out on the field, right? He doesn't shy away from anybody. He's a strong enough player. You think of a lot of these receivers, and they're not big, not very big and strong. Mm-hmm. Sam Emelis plays big and strong. And also, if he's not catching the pass, he's downfield blocking. He's a real weapon for this football team. It's a shame that they don't have him. They've lost two of their best Canadians and Kian Schaefer-Baker as well. They're hurting a little bit. That used to be such a strength of this football team is their offensive, their Canadian receivers.
That's what worries me, the Canadian depth. Because I know if anything I learned over the past, 13 years, if you have Canadian depth, that could get you into the big show, right?
In football games, and you can win the Grey Cup with Canadians. And this was a real strength of the Rough Riders. It still is because they're still patching it together, but they're missing some great players, and Sam Emelis is at the top of that list.
They are getting some healthy offensive linemen back. Peyton Collins, who started the first week of the season, and Zach Fry, who missed last week because of the car accident he was in, they are both back on the left side of the offensive line for the Riders. As for the quarterback, of course, Trevor Harris going for his 11th straight game with 70% completion percentage as he continues to be the most efficient quarterback in the Canadian Football League. He was also the player of the month for July in the Canadian Football League and is quite familiar with playing in Montreal.
I've played there. Their fans are great. And, you know, ever since they've kind of turned it around, you know, they started kind of turning around in 19 and then, you know, 21, you know, made the playoffs, 22, won a playoff game, and then win the cup and, you know, and then host the East Final. You know, it's an ascending team and the fans are coming out and, you know, obviously making it tough to play there.
What's the outside of just getting a win? What do you guys hope to do out there in Montreal ahead of your guys' next bye week?
Just execute. Just make sure we're ascending. You know, you want to make sure that during the bye week, when I go back and watch the film and I watch week 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, we're a better team than we were then, and we're a better team than we were last week. And, you know, just make sure that we're continuing to improve and not make the same mistake twice, because that's the mark of great teams and great players. Or if you make a mistake, you don't make it twice.
What must make their defense so good when you look at their defense, still one of the tops in the league?
Well, their coordinator's been elite for a long time. He's been in the league since before I've gotten here, and he's been elite every year. And, you know, I've played on an offense where I've had Noel Thorpe, and a lot of times, you know, you just got to take care of the football and not screw it up, and they put you in great positions. And, so, you know, it starts with him, and, you know, that obviously goes to their personnel. They're fast and physical, and they give you a lot of different looks. They have elite, you know, safety play, linebacker play with, you know, DeQuaz is awesome. Wes Sutton's a great football player. You know, obviously Bev, great football player. They've got some D linemen that wreak havoc and cause you to have some issues. And so, but it's our job to give them issues as well. And so it's not like we're going in there as a, you know, we can't do it. We're just going to go in and execute, do what we can, and just play 60 minutes of football and see where we come up.
One of those defensive linemen today for the Montreal Alouettes will be Sean Lemon. He is in the lineup for the Alouettes today after serving a 2-game suspension for his drug suspension after his suspension for gambling.
It's my turn to ask a question, Jamie. What do you think of that move by the Montreal Alouettes?
Is that to get the spark plug going?
Oh, I see how Jamie's going to respond. We know how he responded. Jamie's never hidden his thoughts on this one. I just thought I would set him up on this one.
I read something this week where Sean Lemon is talking about, hey, if that's your opinion of me, like I have to accept that people don't think I should be back in the league. And, you know, if they don't appreciate me, and he said me a lot. And I said, I've always said, this is not about Sean Lemon. This is not about the man, Sean Lemon. This is about gambling in sports. And he broke a rule that I think should never be forgiven, which is betting on a game in which you're playing in. Period. It doesn't matter if it was Trevor Harris, AJ Ouellette, or back in the day, Don Narcisse. That is a rule I don't think you should ever say you get a second chance from in sports, is betting on a game in which you're playing. You start allowing that, it gets greasy real fast. How many investigations are we seeing in baseball and other sports? It's not good.
No.
It's not.
Other sports have tried to do it, Jamie, and they've been ruthless in terms of their suspensions, right? Major League Baseball suspended players for betting on their own teams. The NBA, Rules, right? Jonte Turner, the former Raptor, got suspended.
Jonte Porter,
suspended for life.
The
CFL, from what I can tell, Jamie, is the only league that has suspended somebody for gambling on their own team and allowed that person back.
That's all I can see, too.
Mm-hmm. So that's your point. And
Calvin Ridley bet totally on his own team. Yeah. The Atlanta Falcons.
He got suspended.
He was injured. He was on the IR. He was out for the season. He had a torn knee ligament. Oh, he was done for the year. And he bet on the Falcons to beat Jacksonville or something. Terrible that year. But either way, he was not on the field having a direct impact on that game. Win, lose, draw, otherwise. That's the only one who bet on his team, but he was not playing. But a game in which you're playing, I think it's a step too far. He sat down with Stuart Johnston and convinced Stu that he's a reformed man and he's learned his lesson and will never do it again. And I hope he stands to that. Okay. But he's on the field today for the Montreal Alouettes.
They want him back. You know, he still was effective when he was playing. He missed another two games, which is really weird. They signed him the day before the game.
They signed him two hours before the game and counted it as a suspension
for performance-enhancing drugs. So they're trying to set parameters here, which is what you do with gamblers, right? You have to set parameters, and they aren't following their parameters very well. They bend them around, and that's what makes the CFL look bad in this respect. Should he play again? I'm still the type of guy that say, yeah, second chances. Jamie, I can't argue with your morals on this. It's a very good point. And the CFL is the only league that has changed the rules a little bit on this. You cannot bet on teams that you're playing for or against and have that decided, because it just destroys the integrity of your league.
That's what I'm thinking about here, right? Like, have they said now that if anybody going forward, you know, will it be a lifetime ban or anything? They still hadn't even come up with anything about the smoke either yet.
Nope.
All right.
So
let me be quiet.
Play it by ear policies in the Canadian Football League.
Yeah. And the CFL needs to set a policy and stick with it.
Speaking of they do have a policy for what is happening in Edmonton right now. There is lightning outside Commonwealth Stadium. So the players are heading into the locker room. The game is tied at 21-21. This now, the game is official, although it is tied. So we will see if they make it through the necessary protocol or if they're going to have to play the rest of this game another day. So thunderstorms are just building in Edmonton right now, and not sure which direction they'll start to move as lightning in the area. So we got a delay in Edmonton with the Elks and the Tiger Cats tied at 21 with 30 seconds left in the third quarter. But we got the Riders and the Alouettes today on TSN at 5 o'clock. And we got an all or nothing with Britton Gray next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you here on the Green Zone pregame show. Riders and the Alouettes 6-1 against the 5-2 Owls. Meanwhile, there's a delay in Edmonton. And this game is past the official point of 7.5 minutes left in the third quarter. So a delay longer than an hour will be the end of the game.
Mm.
Period. End of game. And it's tied 21-21, so both teams will get a tie in this game.
Fair rule, unless they change it.
Thunderstorms in the area.
They may change that rule. They may decide that that's not what the rule meant.
Oh, but can we? In about an hour and 20 minutes, it'll be clear. Yeah. Can we just play then?
Yeah.
We'll see. But right now, it's time for Britton Gray's All or Nothing. And after 5 of 7 games to start the season, going up against the bottom four teams in the league, the Riders now face a 6-game stretch of the better half of the Canadian Football League as Britton Gray focuses in on this stretch.
Saskatchewan Rough Riders linebacker CJ Rivas knows the middle of this CFL season is going to test them.
I think this is the biggest stretch that we have had so far. You know, I think the first game part of the season is just everybody getting their feet wet. The game, the season starts to like October, like Labor Day, you know what I'm saying? So I think this next stretch will be big for us to go out here and go 6-0.
Over the next 6 games, the Riders take on the Montreal Alouettes and Winnipeg Blue Bombers twice each, and then also have showdowns with the East-leading Hamilton Tiger Cats and a surging Calgary Stampeders team. Those teams head into Week 9 of the CFL season, having an 18-9 record so far. The middle of a long CFL season presents a unique challenge as it falls in between teams wanting to start fast, but then also prior to the intensity really heating up around Labor Day. Rivas says consistency is important to find success at this point in the year.
Easy when some stuff first start to be happy and be excited to be motivated and disciplined, but in the end, it's the same thing. You're trying to win, trying to go playoffs. But like in the middle of the season, we're like, nothing's promised. You're just games, practice, kind of routine of monotony. It's harder to be disciplined, it's harder to be consistent. So I think that's the biggest thing, who can be consistent at all times.
And for Rider fans, the hope is the team can avoid a similar disappointment from last season. The club was 5-1 and then proceeded to go on a 7-game winless streak, which contributed to the team coming up just short of hosting the CFL West Final. But head coach Corey Mace says they can't look too far ahead.
If we just control the now, you know, then you know the rest will take care of itself. So we're 100% dialed here on Montreal, and then you know what happens after that, we'll look to the following opponent. So again, just process oriented. You know, can't look too far ahead at the stretch. Hard to win games in this league every week, man. So we look at them all as good opponents.
For the Riders, the now is the Montreal Alouettes. Montreal has been a place that has been tough for the Riders to get a win, with the last one coming in 2021. Running back A.J. Ouellette admits it's a hard place to play in.
The field's a little different, and I mean, before it was always the horns and all that. I don't know when they got rid of that, if it was this year or last year. I don't know if I made the trip last year or not, but yeah, they're just a good team at home. The crowd rallies behind the energy, and the team feeds off of it.
The CFL's third leading rusher is also looking forward to heading into hostile territory.
It's always fun when you quiet a crowd, no matter where you're going, if it's a West or an East opponent. You can go into a hostile territory and listen to the crickets chirp and watch the seats clear out early. It's nice. But the positive side about being a Rider is you get to see green everywhere you go, no matter if you're West, East, anywhere. I think the run game's always important, but it's you know, like you said, to shut up the crowd. So if you can quiet it out, and it's easier to run the ball just on simple cadences.
But as the team starts this crucial stretch, the reigning CFL Most Outstanding defensive player, Rolla Milligan Jr., says they just need to keep focused.
There's no change. Changes need to be made, really. Just make sure we're coming to work, we're preparing. You know, we're intentional about what we're doing and just being who we're supposed to be.
And Ouellette says the team is happy with their record at 6-1 so far, but they want more.
We've got a long season ahead of us still, so hope we can keep stacking wins.
For the Green Zone, I'm Britton Gray.
Yes, the stretch is the Montreal Alouettes, and then it's the Hamilton Tiger Cats, and then Calgary, then the back-to-back Winnipeg Labor Day Banjo Bowl, and then wraps up with the Alouettes at Mosaic Stadium. Daryl, what do you think? 3-3, 4-2 over this next 6, or you think they can keep things rolling here?
It's tougher. We knew that this was the toughest third of their schedule, and it's putting out there. If they get out of this 4-2, Jamie, that's pretty impressive. They're certainly capable of it. If they get the lead and then throttle somebody, then we know that they've got all their bases covered, and they're going to be a great team. this is the real test of their character. So, as I said, 4-2, 5-1 coming out of here, really impressive.
Yeah.
Capable?
Belton, what do you think?
I got them at 13-5, so they
they better win.
They're going to win some. They'll be better than 3-3 during this stretch. I'm thinking probably 4-2 somewhere in that range.
Well, then you're coming out of this with a what? A 10-3 record with 5 left to play?
Yeah.
Your 13-5 prediction would be looking pretty darn good.
We'll see, Jamie.
On that one.
We'll see.
Coming up next here on the Green Zone, we're going to go behind enemy lines, and he's turning into one of the best receivers in the Canadian Football League this year and will be looked upon a lot without Austin Mack, without Tyson Philpott. I was able to chat with Tyler Snead, the fifth leading receiver in the CFL, and that's coming up next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis, Belton Johnson with you on this Saturday afternoon, getting set for the Riders and the Alouettes at Percival Molson Memorial Stadium in downtown Montreal, along the mountain. Beautiful scene is that the most picturesque stadium in the Canadian Football League, Daryl Davis?
It's pretty close. I like Ottawa, too, though, right along the canal. Belton, don't you think Ottawa is beautiful?
I don't know.
Too,
did you play in Ottawa? Got to play in Ottawa.
Okay. It's a pretty spot too.
Yeah.
You know what? And I still don't mind Calgary. You can see downtown off in the one end zone, and you know the Rockies are behind the press box the other way. So there's some pretty ones around here. And Regina, you get to see the churches and the smoke and everything. It's really there's some pretty impressive buildings.
I thought you were going to say the construction.
That's what I thought. I was ready for it.
I saw you guys smiling for that one. Construction's out of sight of Mosaic Stadium, isn't it?
Yes, it is the spot as we go behind enemy lines.
Peeking over the sidelines and sneaking into enemy territory.
Our man is behind enemy lines.
This is Behind Enemy Lines.
Each every week, I chat with a member of the opposition, and today, I was able to chat with Tyler Snead, receiver of the Montreal Alouettes, fifth in the league in receiving yards, and asked him how he's feeling in year three on the verge of a breakout season.
It's definitely helped a lot being in the system, same system for we're going on 3 years now. Helps a lot just understanding the defenses more, being able to find the zones that, you know, I'm looking for, especially, like I said, being in the same system. I kind of got a good feel of, you know, my routes and how I can run them, how the quarterbacks want me to run them, and, you know, where I need to be. And basically my goal is just to try and be in the right spot at the right time. So that helps out a lot. But also everybody around helps out a lot, too, just because I feel like our group all around is we have a bunch of playmakers on there. So you know, just everybody else running routes and getting open helps me ultimately get open as well.
I'm wondering with this next question, Tyler, what do you wish you knew 3 years ago when you entered the CFL that you know now?
Ooh, there's a lot just because I feel like I've learned so much since I was that rookie. But if I had to pick one thing, it's just learning the defenses and the different blitzes they send, just because I know a lot of times we have things we can do off blitzes. So being able to pick those up pre-snap and being able to see the field a little better just helps me kind of set things up a certain way, run routes maybe a different way than I was originally going to. Whereas, you know, my rookie year, I was kind of out there just trying to run the right route. And now I feel like I'm more confident to add more stuff to it, just because I know where I'm trying to get and what spot. I know what I want to do with it. So I'd say that's the biggest thing for me, probably.
Tyler Snead, Montreal Alouettes, as we get you set for the Owls and the Rough Riders. Tyler, getting to know McLeod Bethel-Thompson a little bit over the last few years, I've interviewed him a bunch. Have you had any philosophical conversations with McLeod Bethel-Thompson yet?
Not yet, but since you brought it up, I'm going to have to ask him, sit down and talk to him about something deep now. But he's a great guy. MBT is a great guy. I love having him around. Love having him, you know, as a leader. He's a great leader. And, you know, obviously he's been in this league for a while. So any tips and pointers I can get from him, I note down.
Well, what is it like getting to know McLeod just in his reads,
his preparation, you know, the thing where he wants to put the ball, and how much was last week kind of that affirmation that you're doing it the right way with a new quarterback?
It's awesome. It's awesome just being able to hear how he kind of talks through different plays and his mindset going into the plays and his reads, just because it's such a different outlook than what I normally have, just because he's got to know everybody, all the zones, his reads and all that. So being able to pick his brain and then just kind of talk about where he wants my angle to be or where he wants me to sit down in the zone helps a lot too, just because, you know, he's seen it all. And so wherever he wants me, that's where I try to be, because I know that's where the zone will be open. But nah, he's a good dude, man. Love playing with him, love competing with him. He's a competitor.
Overall, how confident is this receiving core? It's a very next man up receiving core with a load of talent. And how important has that been when, you know, a Mac's not in the lineup or a Phil Potts not in the lineup, that there's somebody next man up who's going to fill that spot?
It's really important. I think we do a great job as a group in whole, you know, just with that next man up mentality. If somebody goes down, us as a group, we don't expect any drop off to take place. We expect the next person to step up and kind of take over that role and perform to the best of your ability. And we know we have ability all throughout the room. So, you know, as you've seen throughout the year, a lot of different guys have stepped up, and it can be anybody's week. Last week was Cole's week. A couple weeks ago was Max's week. Any week can be anybody's day. So I think that's just what makes us more dangerous as well as a group.
So when you go up against the Saskatchewan Rough Riders, what are you seeing from this defense as you turned on the film this weekend to get set for Saturday?
That, you know, they got a great defense. The back end, they fly around. They're a bunch of ball hawks. And then up front, we know they're strong up front too, and they hunt that ball. You know, we got to do a good job of protecting it going into this week. Limited in turnovers, try not to have any at all. And then I think, obviously, just having a good rhythm and flow for the game. Try and limit two and outs. Just keep drives alive. Keep our defense kind of off the field. And then, yeah, just obviously when we get in the red zone, we need to do a good job of taking advantage of that and putting up touchdowns instead of field goals. But just getting down there is what's important as well.
They like to rush in four, maybe bring five, play a lot of zone defense. Is zone defense something that you had to get used to? Like, I know there's a lot of cover three man underneath, the cover two man underneath, those types of things in 11-man ball, but how much are you getting used to the big wide field and some, you know, very popular zone defenses?
Yeah, I'm getting more and more used to it as the years go on. Like I said, I feel like I got a pretty good or a better understanding of it now than I did in year one. But, yeah, it's just it kind of threw me off when I first came up with that 12th defender kind of roaming around in the middle of the field. And then obviously now you see different looks where they can come down and rob or – you know, they can run different versions of three double cut, two man. So they can do a lot in disguising coverages and then just kind of spinning the defense and shifting kind of who plays what zone. So it's taken a lot of studying and a lot of film to kind of understand and get used to it. But I love the game and I love studying and trying to learn all that stuff. So I enjoy doing that.
It's interesting. We talk a lot about culture and the one Corey Mace is building here, but your entire career has been with Jason Moss. Won a championship, of course, in that first year. But what is it about Jason and what has led to the Alouettes with so much success through his first 3 years as the head coach there?
Like you said, just the culture and the culture we have in the locker room and the energy that he brings every day. I mean, he's an intense coach. He's an intense guy, and he expects the best out of you every day. And so holding ourselves and him holding us to that standard, I think day in and day out is what ultimately makes us better and makes us great as a group, just because, you know, nobody wants to see anybody slack, and we all want to stay at that high standard, and that's what everybody expects from everybody in the locker room.
That is Tyler Snead, an up-and-coming receiver in the Canadian Football League in year three, number five in the league in receiving, and he'll be looked on a little bit more today. Without Austin Mack in the lineup, already without Tyson Philpott for the Alouettes. Let's get to bold prediction question number one, gentlemen.
By the way, Daryl and I are tied now, Belton.
Wow.
You're 10 back.
Okay.
But, of course, when we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, when we have like 15 points a game, remember the one game you kicked our tail on that one with a couple of weeks ago. So you're never out of it.
Gap, man.
All right. Question number one. Two of the top defenses in the league, two of the top defenders in the league. In fact, they were nominated as the East and West Defensive Players of the Year last year, Tyrese Beverett and Roland Milligan Jr. Milligan Jr. was awarded the league award in Vancouver last season. So, I'm looking for tackles for both, and then other defensive plays, special teams tackles, knockdowns, interceptions, fumble recoveries, forced fumbles. So tackles and then other defensive plays for Beverett and Roland Milligan Jr. today. I'm trying to see who's lined up here with Milligan. Might have Tyler Snead as someone he has to chase down. I'm going to go with Roland Milligan tackles at 6, other defensive plays 2, Tyrese Beverett 8 tackles, other defensive plays 1. For the Alouettes star defensive player. Daryl, what are you thinking?
Milligan, 3-3.
3-3?
Beverett. You said 8, right?
Yep.
9. And 2 others.
Belton.
Let's go 4-3.
4-3 for Roland Milligan?
Mm-hmm.
And for Tyrese Beverett.
Ooh. I'm going to go 7-2.
Oh, I'm locked in the middle of you two. All right. I see how this works. As bold predictions will carry on, we'll talk about McLeod Bethel Thompson and the return of Sean Lemon.
Welcome to first place, bit Jamie.
Later on. Coming up next, we'll go inside the green and white as we look at both sides of the ball, the offense and the defense with Dell Duncan Busby and last week's Player of the Week, Malik Carney. Next on 980 CJME and 650 CKOM. Welcome back to the Green Zone pregame show. Jamie and I, Daryl Davis and Belton Johnson on a game day. Two of the best teams in the CFL going head-to-head in Montreal. The Riders at 6-1, the Alouettes at 5-2. Meanwhile, an update on what's going on in Edmonton. Nothing is going on in Edmonton. It is 21-21 in a lightning delay. 30 seconds left in the third quarter. But that game is official, right? After 7.5 minutes in the third quarter, a game is declared an official game. The result as of now will be the result. So it would be tie game. They have about 20, 25 minutes.
Mm.
Because the CFL weather protocol says after the 7.5 minute mark of the third quarter, it is an hour-long delay. And then it's done. Go home. The game's over. If it's before the 7.5 minute point of the third quarter, it's a 3-hour delay. But it's past that 7:30 point. The game's official. And Daryl and I were looking at the lightning radar around Edmonton, and it's not getting better as it's actually getting closer to Commonwealth Stadium. Not further away, but you never know. You know how a storm system works in the prairies. It could be gone in a blink of an eye. So we'll keep you up to date on the delay in Edmonton. It would be a tie game if it ends the way it is. 21-21 right now.
No overtime, no anything.
No.
Weird rules, man. They got to be consistent with the rules. Set up the rules and live with
them. Well, remember, it was in Montreal
where
the Riders won a game.
Yeah.
Did they win or lose that game?
They won that one.
They won that one. It was a storm. It was a lightning delay. An hour wait, and boom, it was game over. And people were like, if we would have waited an extra 20 minutes, we would have been able to finish the game. But a rule's a rule.
That's what they tried to do earlier this season, the smoke delay, right? Tried to wait. But, you know, there's eventually a time that you have to do it. But it doesn't seem like very long, an hour, Jamie. When we're looking at the lightning strikes around Edmonton, and you think, it looks like they're going to get close and then pass over so quickly. And meanwhile, tie game.
It could be 20 minutes after that deadline, and it might be clear skies and why aren't we playing football right now? But that is agreed upon between the CFL and the Players Association.
That's important.
Let's go inside the green and white with the Rough Riders getting set for Montreal. Let's start with receiver Dell Duncan Busby with a look-see on why the Alouettes defense is so good.
I would say, like, as long as we follow our rules and our tendencies and do what we're supposed to do, at the end of the day, it'll get sorted out the way it's supposed to. Obviously, they run a bunch of different stuff, but as long as we do what we got to do, we'll be all right.
When, you know, you have Sam down again, and more pressure gets put on the depth of this receiving core, what did you learn from those couple of weeks without Kian and Sam that you apply to a week like this one?
I mean, we're just deep as a wide receiver group. There's a lot of people that haven't played and then are now starting to get their opportunities to play and stuff like that. So we're really deep, and we trust all the guys and the offense and the quarterback and Mueller and Coach Quay. They all trust us to do our job and stuff like that. So, I mean, those first little bit was just like, you know, battle test us a little bit, and I feel like that's what we are.
When it comes to the trust with you and Trevor, how has that developed into year two, and what are the big learning things that you learn from him and he kind of gets to know you a little bit?
I would just say, like, where it is that where Trevor likes to put the ball, where I like to run my routes and stuff like that. So I would say that from year one, you know what, like, it's I can from to year two, like, I can add a little bit more of, like, my flavor to it, but still doing my job at the end of the day, because that's what we're all doing. We got to be one of 12. We don't want to be individuals. So just from last year to this year, you know, we got a little bit more of an understanding of how we like to do things, and I mean, I feel like it's worked pretty well for us.
We haven't seen a lot of Tommy and Ryder Green. What have you seen from him trying to work back from injury and now kind of into the lineup?
Tommy's great. I mean, he's a vet. He's been around the league for a long time. I'm excited to see him on Saturday, just go out there and show what he can do. Obviously, he's got a little bit of a chip on his shoulder, so I'm just excited to go see him play.
Overall, 7-1 start going into the bye week. How important would that be to get this road win to carry some momentum into another third of the season?
I mean, I feel like every game is big. Don't want to put too much pressure on one specific game. Obviously, it is super nice. You know, we get this win, we get into a bye week. It kind of gives us a little bit of time to recover and get back to you know, let's just say 90% or to 100%. So, I mean, each game is very important. And, I mean, I feel like just going into Montreal, it's a hard place to play. We all understand that. But just going out there doing our job, we should be good.
As an offensive player, are you happy they banned those annoying air horns?
To be honest, I never really heard it. I traveled there last year. I was on the sideline, so I can understand how it gets pretty loud. But to be honest, like, even I played in Winnipeg. Like, you don't really notice it when you're out there. You're just kind of immersed in your own little world.
That is Dell Duncan Busby, called again upon again as the number one Canadian receiver on this depth chart without Sam Emilis on the six-game injured list. And, of course, Kian Schaefer-Baker is there as well.
They got to patch things together just like they did with that offensive line. You have to balance the ratio, the non-import ratio, and figure things out. The Riders have been deep at receiver, guys, but this is really testing them, isn't it?
It's testing them. But they haven't given me a reason not to believe in them, right? Like, just the way how things have unfolded this season so far, right? And can you tell me I felt like each week they had a leading receiver, you know.
It's been different too, quite often, right?
It has, right? And they found a way to get it done. O-line, you know, they put guys in the past, if you had asked me this last year, Darrell, I would have been all over this. Like, yeah, they're in some trouble here. But I don't know. I feel okay with this lineup. And again, the way I'm seeing it is like a defensive game probably, right? So, I'm thinking Trevor Harris might have 80, 90% completion today, because I think it's just going to be the little 5-yard, 10-yard kind of passes. Just to play things safe, and I think they'll probably try to run the ball more than anything today.
As we continue on Inside the Green and White, we're going to flip the ball over to the defensive side and hear from the Defensive Player of the Week in the Canadian Football League, Malik Carney, with two sacks, some pass rushes as well, from a defense who had a breakout performance against the Edmonton Elks.
Definitely a lot of the hard work that we've put in, showed out that game. But, we're over that. We're on to the next game, next performance, you know, trying to reiterate that, performance like that, just continue to build our chemistry, continue to be physical, and continue to get wins.
As a defensive player and a lineman, I'm wondering, would you like to see QB pressures be made public
rather than just the sack stat?
I feel like QB pressures is just a glorified way of saying almost. It's the stats that, you know, everybody likes, but I don't really focus on that. I just try to do my job to the best of my ability. And honestly, whoever gets a sack, I'm happy.
Okay, let's focus on the Montreal Alouettes. What do you see, especially with McLeod Bethel-Thompson, who's a little less mobile than Davis Alexander, who made this defense give you headaches last year?
I'm not going to get too specific, but just the simplest form, you know, those are two different type of players. I know their scheme. They like to do a lot of seven-man protection and stuff. So, and our coach has done a great job of preparing us for this game, so it's up to us to just go out there and execute and get a win.
Do they do it a little bit more than anybody else, like max protect?
Absolutely, yes. From what I've seen and playing against them, they do a lot of max protection, to help them out for their deep shots, also to run the ball. So, we're prepared for that, and it's going to be a great matchup.
When you look at a matchup like this, kind of top west, top east, how big is this game to go into a bye week and keep them at bay a little bit, because a tie brings everybody back up to you, a win, you're 7-1 and still alone in first?
We're just, focusing on getting a win. It's not what they do, it's what we do. And as long as we execute and continue to be who we are, I know we'll win.
Overall, this next stretch, it's Montreal, it's Hamilton, it's Winnipeg, it's Winnipeg, it's Montreal. This is a stretch of six games against kind of the top teams in the league. How important is this to send a message?
I think our message has already been sent throughout the league. It's just up to us to continue to send those messages. And, when they see us on the board, I know that they're they're excited, and we're the team. I feel like we're the team to beat, but it's up to us to just continue to stay at the top and just do what we do. You know, again, it's not what they do, it's what we do.
Now that is Malik Carney, the defensive end, two sacks last week, leading that defensive line this season after eight sacks against the Edmonton Elks.
Two from line mates Mike Johnson and from Shane Ray as well. Mm-hmm. We'd been waiting for them to break out. They have too much star a power and ability to not be a dominant defensive line, and they hadn't been that good. I talked to Shane Ray this week about it a little bit. He said, you know what? We needed earlier in the season to get our chemistry going. He missed a lot of the preseason and early in the season with an injury. The other guy, two of the guys that played together, Mike Rose was a new one. Mm-hmm. We were laughing last week. Mike Rose didn't get a sack, but he's a huge part of that interior line, obviously. And they needed to get that chemistry he talked about. So it looked like they had it, but I still say a lot of it had to do with adding that fifth pass rusher, adding that sixth pass rusher as a full-time blitz. They blitzed a lot, which made that defensive line dominant.
And Daryl, like, I'm with you, right? That when they bring that fifth or sixth guy, because when they do that, it creates one-on-one matchups, right, for those defensive guys. And, you know, I look at Carney and Ray, like, man, they got some speed.
Yeah.
Wow. Like, and I even think today that's what they're going to have to do at the defensive end. They're really going to have to rush up the field hard, right? And, you know, maybe get MBT, McLeod, Bethel, Thompson, just get them off rhythm, you know, early on and everything. Whereas you got Mike Rose and you got Johnson there in the middle. They're going to have to kind of rush to I feel like they're going to have to widen just a little bit, mm-hmm. just in case. But if they could get the one-on-one matchups,
yeah,
they're going to wreck havoc.
You're right, and spread that offensive line a little bit to them, right? Because this is a much better offensive line than Edmonton's offensive line, too. So I think that's going to be huge how they adjust a little bit, Bell, and you make a great point on that one.
Coming up next, we're going to find out what we're eating with the tailgating tip with the Sherwood Co-op, but also who's going to eat the matchups we like for a player to have a big night tonight in Montreal. Jamie Nye, Daryl Davis, Pelton Johnson, still a lightning delay in Edmonton with the Tiger Cats and the Elks, but the Riders and the Alouettes are coming up 5 o'clock on TSN. This is 650 CKOM and 980 CJME.